Hey, everybody.
Welcome back.
So today we are doing a musical discussion. It is my hope, my fervent dream, that one day every episode of Home on the RNG that we have done will at some point have a musical expert discuss the music of it.
Me too, because it won't be me.
Chris is the musical expert that we can afford. So he is the musical expert who is willing to put up with me and Russ. And so today, he is going to talk about two games that we previously reviewed, but where Russ and I were just kind of like, oh, it had music. So we are today discussing the music of Breath of Fire 1 and 2.
Yay.
Hooray. Yeah, so Breath of Fire 1 and 2, of course, were both Super Nintendo games from the kind of mid-ish 90s. A wonderful time to be playing video games, whether you liked Breath of Fire 1 or 2 or not, because, you know, there was just all kinds of good games out there. So,
like,
yeah.
Slapstick.
Yeah, Slapstick. Robotrek, whose composer I could not name off the top of my head, I'm sorry to say, but I liked the little town theme. It's very jaunty. No. I don't sing on the podcast. I have to tell myself, don't try and sing stuff on the podcast. Not that I can't sing, but that's just what it would be.
I cannot sing, and sometimes I burst into song, so
I think you're welcome. I can sing. Reality has yet to be determined.
Right, right. So, but for the purposes of podcast, y'all don't want to hear that stuff. But yeah, Breath of Fire 1 and 2 are two really different experiences in terms of music, with the exception of really rockin' Mega Man style battle themes.
Well,
and there's a reason
Capcom,
for that.
Yeah.
It's not only is it Capcom, it's Mega Man people that wrote all the music.
And I have always... The Mega Man series has amazing music, period.
Oh, yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
I'm not dialed into music, but even I can recognize that Mega Man is just banger after banger.
Yeah, there's not a Mega Man game that doesn't have, like, you know, however you feel about the games themselves, like, you listen to the music and you're like, oh yeah, I know exactly what this is. And a lot of that is thanks to names that are going to be coming up in just about 30 seconds. But yeah.
One, two.
That's it. Yeah, we just count 30 seconds. I am all for padding time.
Five.
Mississippi.
Okay, anyways. So, in talking about Capcom and the music of the oh-so mid-1990s, back in the 1900s.
And they were so mid.
Back in the 1900s, good lord.
As my niece, who is named Zoe, says, she asked her mom, my sister, how she could remember songs from back in the 1900s.
And Chris tells the story as I'm holding a little 3-pound puppy named Zoe in my arm.
Yeah, Jeff sent me a text while I was on my way over saying that Zoe misses her Uncle Chris, and I'm like, this is bizarre. Why are you saying this? And he didn't realize I actually have a niece and her name is Zoe. Anyways.
That was just my subtle way of making sure he remembered we were recording today.
Right.
And I have desiccated into a withered skeleton. Thinking about children saying back in the 1900s.
Exactly. That's the what I was hoping to evoke with my niece's statement.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Anyways, so back in the oh so mid 90s, a lot of the Capcom music came from a team mostly of women called Alf Lila. That was just kind of the nickname of the collection of women who wrote songs, often in teams for all of the Capcom games, and also handled. Separately, the conversions to home consoles. It gets really tricky and confusing when you try to say, you know, talk about like Mari Yamaguchi, for instance, and like, oh yeah, she did the music for Super Ghouls and Ghosts and UN Squadron. And then it's like, well, okay, she didn't write the music, she converted it to Super Nintendo. But she did write the music to Mega Man 5, which later got converted by somebody else into Mega Man Soccer.
The most beloved Mega Man game.
My favorite.
Which also has just Oops All Bangers for a soundtrack. It's just incredible. So, yeah, talking about anything Capcom around this era, you really do get this laundry list of names of people who, like, you know, changed my little world. But, you know, it's just going to seem like just this laundry list of names and then things that they did that's very confusingly, mixed up with other things that the other people on the list did. But we're going to get through it anyway because Breath of Fire 1 Like I said, it was handled collectively by Alf Lila, but credits four composers, even though five worked on it. And so we're just going to kind of go through that laundry list right now and talk a little bit about them. So number one, and I say this first as well, you know, first in the list as well as first in contributions, Yasuaki Fujita, who goes by the name Bun Bun. He was the sole composer of Mega Man 3 and partial composer of Mega Man 4. Kind of worked on some of that. He also did the Darkwing Duck NES soundtrack, which I also really love. Very jazzy. A very jazz-influenced guy, actually, I think. But yeah, the Mega Man 3 soundtrack is considered by most fans to be the best one. I personally think it's tied with 5, but 5's composer is on this list too, so we don't even have to argue. But yeah, Bun Bun wrote like the vast majority of music in this game. So that's your first person. Mari Yamaguchi, also known as Mari, also worked on this game. She did about 5 tracks, depending on who you ask. And she is also, like I said, she did work on Super Ghouls and Ghosts and UN Squadron, but only to convert the existing soundtracks to the Super Nintendo. She, however, did write the music for Mega Man 5, which I far and away is my favorite Mega Man. And her soundtrack is part of the reason for that. She is an amazing composer who I wish had done a lot more stuff, but you know, it's actually kind of hard to find things that she directly worked on. Then we have the other three people who each contributed 1, possibly 2 tracks. So that would be Minai Fujin, who went by Ojalin. I don't know how the Ojalin is supposed to be pronounced, but she is the primary composer for Mega Man 4, and you know, she's done a lot of other stuff too. Yoko Shimomura, who RPG fans will absolutely know from Kingdom Hearts, as well as all of the RPGs starring Mario, Paper with Luigi, or Seven Stars. You know,
Kingdom Hearts, my favorite RPG.
Yeah. Yeah, she worked on RPGs. I didn't say she worked on all the good ones. But
Super Mario RPG, good soundtrack.
I mean, Super Mario RPG.
Yeah, she did Super Mario RPG. I actually like Kingdom Hearts, but you know, I haven't played all of them.
I wonder if they brought her back for the remaster.
They did, yes. She is remastering her own soundtrack for that. She also remastered her own soundtrack for Live Alive. She did the original and the new one. Yeah, and she also wrote most of the music for Street Fighter 2. You know, it's hard to overstate
even
how much of
Guile's theme?
Yes, that is one of the ones that she did. I think she only
just singing on the podcast. I got it. That's fine.
She only didn't do Sagat's theme and like a couple of other incidental musics. But yeah, she is it's hard to overstate how much of a legend in video game music she is, which is why we're talking about her for several minutes, even though she contributed 1 song to this.
She was busy, okay?
Yeah. Her nickname for this release, and I've never seen this nickname anywhere else, is P-I-I with a musical note after it.
Love it.
So P.
That's what Chibiusa called her little robot cat in Sailor Moon.
Oh, maybe that's why.
It was Luna P, and then she would just call it P, and she called Sailor Pluto P. Because Sailor Pluto was kind of like a second mother to her, and she would call her P-P-I-I. So I'm not 100% sure what it means, but it's in other media.
Well, that is interesting, and maybe that had an influence on the selection of nicknames on this one. And then uncredited is Tatsuya Nishimura, who created 1 song called Memories, even though this game did not remember him. He also worked on the sound effects. He also worked on like Street Fighter sound effects. He largely mostly did sound effects work rather than straight up composition, but he is a composer as well. The soundtrack credits him as Annie, which is odd because why would you need a nom de plume for something you weren't credited in?
Right.
But anyway, that's the list. And like I said, if you're a video game music fan in general, like I am, especially of like Capcom stuff, then yeah, Bun Bun, Mari Yamaguchi, Minai Fujin, and Yoko Shimomura working on the same game has to be magical, and it is indeed. I think Breath of Fire 1 has a fantastic soundtrack. I think that, you know, everything from like the title screen music, which just has those, you know, crazy like string things that come in. to like more subtle stuff. Like I mentioned in the Breath of Fire 3 review, but I love the forest theme in this one. It's just got this cool, like, fretless sounding bass line sound, and it's just got the strings going all over the place. The battle music. Top notch.
Would you say that it has wild strings?
Oh, are the strings wild? Also, the Breath of Fire 1, like the other Breath of Fires, I assume at least, because I've only played the first two, has changing overworld themes, one of which returns for Breath of Fire 2, in fact. But yeah, it has that. It has, you know, a couple different town themes, although it does kind of rely on mostly the one. But yeah, as you go to a variety of places, although you will hear, you know, kind of the generic dungeon theme quite a lot. At least, you know, they do mix it up quite a lot, which is very nice. And like I said, they have several overworld and town themes. Lots of, you know, since there's not a whole ton of story, there's not a whole lot of story scene musics, because, you know, this game kind of, it kind of takes the Dragon Quest, you know, approach of, yeah. You know, the story is more or less told through events rather mm-hmm. than cutscenes. So there's not a lot of cutscene stuff here. But, you know, of course, like I said, the star of the show in this, as well as most JRPGs, is the battle music. Although the battle music doesn't remind me as much of like a Mega Man type of song, despite having, you know, three Mega Man composer and one Street Fighter composer. You'd think the fights would sound like one of those. But in fact, they do kind of keep it a little bit more orchestral and sort of in keeping with the high fantasy theme.
I did notice that. I thought it was, when I realized the composers were all Mega Man, I was like, well, this doesn't sound like Mega Man.
Right. And one of them's like Mega Man 3 and Darkwing Duck, and like those are jazzy soundtracks, and like, yeah, you'd think, but
nope, they branched out. They stuck with the theme.
Yeah. They understood the assignment, like I said, and that's the strength of Alf Lila, is that, you know, they kind of rocked it no matter what they did, so, you know. Great on Breath of Fire. So, y'all have any thoughts about Breath of Fire 1 specifically and favorite tracks or anything?
Russ and I are staring at each other.
Yeah, not really. This is not a series where the music stands out to me as much as other, except for the, which we'll talk about, very annoying cave theme, Breath of Fire 2. But
my problem is the experience of playing Breath of Fire 1. It overshadowed all of my memories of Breath of Fire 1. Breath of Fire 1 was very much a game I wanted to like and absolutely could not get into. My memories of Breath of Fire 1 are just slogging through a thing to get it done. And Breath of Fire 2 is not too dissimilar.
Yeah.
And so I don't have memories of the music because it was overshadowed by the experience for me.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I definitely can see that too. And yeah, speaking of Breath of Fire 2, let's get into it. So,
but that's why I'm glad we've got you here to give us a fresh perspective on, 'cause these people, clearly a large team of people passionate about their work, deserve some degree of recognition beyond, I didn't really like the game.
Right, yeah. No, yeah, I mean, it's definitely the kind of game where, like, I like it personally, but, you know, the soundtrack does overshoot the game by quite a bit. In my opinion. And however, that may not be the case for Breath of Fire 2, in my opinion. So let's talk about that one a little bit. So rather than a laundry list of Alf Lila composers, we have newcomer to Capcom, Yuko Takahara, whose first job was to compose there's a couple of things before it, but the first like major contribution that she made was Mega Man 6, which she did all the music for, which actually came out just a year before the first Breath of Fire, because it's hard to picture now that we're so far away from it, but like the NES, SNES, and PlayStation were all so close together.
Yeah.
And Mega Man 6 in particular came out like 3 years after the SNES was already out, so.
Almost very few people played Mega Man 6 because they had mostly moved on to the Super Nintendo by then.
Capcom didn't even publish it. Nintendo did. So that's the only one of the original six that Capcom didn't even bother publishing.
My big, I know this is a tangent, but Star Tropics 2, which I weirdly like more than the first game.
Zoda's Revenge.
Was like, yeah, that was like near the end of the life cycle of the Super Nintendo when that came out.
I think at some point we should play and review the Star Tropics games.
Yeah, we definitely should.
Yeah, they're good. But yeah, she also worked on some of Mega Man 7. I would say actually most of Mega Man 7 probably, as well as like later on some Marvel versus Capcom stuff. You know, she eventually like did a lot of stuff for Capcom. It's just mostly in the like in that kind of, you know, more 2000s kind of area. But yeah, so Breath of Fire 2, she was handed the reins for it entirely. So she came up with the soundtrack entirely herself. Now, there are some highlights here, but I will say that in general, it has a very Mega Man 7 sound to it. In fact, I would even say that it has some Mega Man X sounding stuff, like especially the battle themes, where instead of being like kind of appropriately high fantasy sounding, they do just straight out throw out the drums, bass, rock guitars, all that good stuff. So yeah, for me, the fighting themes, which do change eventually in the game, like they kind of shift around, except for the boss theme, which is fine because I love the boss theme. Those are the real standouts. I also like the flying theme when you're, you know, flying with the bird. The fishing theme, which is a nice jaunty theme that, you know, like I said, the first game didn't have. So it's nice that they kind of gave the fishing its own theme. But all of that does kind of get a little overshadowed in the actual experience of playing the game, because most of what you'll hear is the cave theme, which is a 30-second loop of music that is just an arpeggio, a little bell, and then it halfway through it changes pitch slightly, and then it goes back down. And because of the gameplay loop, you will spend a lot of time between hearing the one town theme as well as the one cave theme, you know, broken up by the battle themes. And everything else is like kind of either cutscene music, lots of church music. There's actually a variety of organ-based, like, you know, churchy music in here because, you know, because of the plot.
The storyline, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was funny to me to, like, you know, because I didn't play through this one myself for the purposes of this review. I like kind of watched a speed run of it. Mm-hmm. And I was very surprised at like it has a church theme. But then by the time you get later in the game where like, you know, you got evil church people and there's a different church theme and it's darker. So in fact, apart from these parts of the soundtrack, most of it is like kind of dreary and like dire, like, you know, dark music for dark times. But then it goes back to the fishing theme and then we're all happy again. So yeah, Breath of Fire 2, it's not a worse soundtrack. It's just that because of the way the game is, the good tracks are buried by the tracks that aren't as interesting, which are very much the town theme and the cave theme. And like I said, it does have some good overworld themes. However, one of them is just straight up lifted from Breath of Fire 1. I want to say that's one of Mari Yamaguchi's songs, but I could be wrong. Soundtracks are very, you know, when you look at the listing for soundtracks, they can be a little unpredictable for U.S. audiences anyway. But yeah, I just want to give a shout out to one song, which is called Dying Corpse.
Yeah.
It's one of the dark themes.
Oh, I really thought that was going to be a jaunty.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's one of the battle themes. I can't be too sure because I didn't pinpoint its location exactly. It's just in the soundtrack. I came across that name and laughed aloud.
You're really having a bad day if you're already a corpse.
If you're, a corpse and you're dying. Yeah. That's, yeah.
A bad time.
I mean, that's a bad day. I put it up there with the Final Fantasy Tactics song, Bloody Diarrhea. Is that what it was?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, I remember, what you're talking about there, yeah. So, yeah, Breath of Fire 2, like I said, it's a much more Mega Man type of soundtrack. Nothing against Yuko Takahara. She has created fantastic soundtracks, and in fact, Mega Man 6 is a standout, I would say. She did a wonderful job on
that. Maybe she just wished that she was still working on that.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, it's also possible that maybe Breath of Fire 2 had a little bit more of a rush job aspect to it, so maybe she didn't even have the benefit of
time. It is weird that they went from like a crew of five people to one person.
Yeah, it's I didn't really research that because it's hard to find information like that, but it could possibly be maybe a different studio worked on it or something like that, because, I mean, yeah, like I said, Alpha Lila, they tended to work together on a lot of things, and it's possible that maybe by that time, 1996 or whatever, that, you know, it was more focused on individual people at the time. Or, I don't know. I have actually not been able to really research that all that much. But yeah, one composer for Breath of Fire 2 still did a great job. Lots of legendary composers for the first game who also did a great job.
Yeah.
So that's Breath of Fire 1 and 2.
Great. Thank you very much for all that work, Chris. We appreciate you looking back on the games with us.
Very informative. Yeah, I wish I had the audacity to go by Bun Bun.
I know.
Right? Just the sheer macho-ness of, like, call me Bun Bun.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what that accent was. I don't know what I was trying for it,
to be. A little Antonio Banderas to me.
I don't really do accents well. I was going to try and lean into Antonio Banderas, and then I realized, I can't do accents. You're going to embarrass yourself, and they're going to laugh at you.
Done and done.
All right, so that's it for the music of the Breath of Fire games. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.